asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Catherine Drew. The United Nations has appealed for restraint after three people were killed in post-election violence in Zimbabwe. It comes as businesses have shut in the capital Harare and troops patrol the streets. Violence broke out after parliamentary results gave victory to the ruling ZANU-PF party amid accusations from the opposition MDC alliance that the result is being rigged. FSN's Isabel Nakiria reports.
Tension remains in Zimbabwe after three people were killed and scores injured. Army patrols have continued on the streets of the capital, Harare. The opposition claimed the ruling ZANU-PF rigged the election after early results showed it had won majority seats in parliament. Nelson Chamisa's opposition MDC alliance claims it beat incumbent President Emmerson Mnangagwa. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and UK Foreign Minister Harriet Baldwin have called for calm. Human rights group Amnesty International has asked the government to open a probe into the army's actions.
An international team of experts has arrived in the Democratic Republic of Congo to help fight a new Ebola outbreak. This comes just days after a previous outbreak of Ebola, which killed 33 people, was declared to be over. FSN's William Denzelow reports from the United Nations in New York.
The delegation of international experts is made up of personnel from the World Health Organization, the World Bank, the United Nations, as well as the Democratic Republic of Congo's Health Ministry. According to WHO and local officials, the team has arrived in the town of Beni, nearly 20 miles from the area of this latest Ebola outbreak. 20 people are believed to have died from hemorrhagic fevers in the region, and 6 people are showing signs of fever, 4 of which have been tested positive for Ebola. The east of the DRC has been marred by decades of violence, and experts warn this could complicate efforts to contain the outbreak. William Denzelow, New York.
Forecasters are warning that an all-time temperature record could be broken in Europe in the coming days as the continent basks in another heatwave. The current European record of 48 degrees Celsius was set in Athens in 1977. However, temperatures are rising in Spain and Portugal amid a surge of hot air sweeping in from Africa. Spain's weather service is warning people to take care as temperatures could soar into the upper 40s. US President Donald Trump has thanked North Korean leader Kim Jong-un after the secretive communist state handed over possible remains of US Korean War dead. In a tweet, the US leader thanked Mr. Kim for what he said was a nice letter and said he looked forward to meeting him again. 55 boxes of skeletal remains were received at a solemn ceremony attended by Vice President Mike Pence in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Last month, North Korean state media said that Mr. Kim had accepted Mr. Trump's invitation to visit the US. However, no date has yet been announced. From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you very much, Catherine. When I was in Spain a few years ago with the future Mrs. Allen, we had a couple of days of 43, 44. That was pretty rough. 48, 50, well, doesn't bear thinking about. It's been warm here today, though, in South Manchester. This is your Richie Allen Show. How are you? Hope you've had a good day today.
Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show.
Now, I've got two terrific guests lined up for you. This programme, you can tweet at Richie Allen Show at any time with comments for me. Opinions, I like to get them at Richie Allen Show on Twitter.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Now, Isaac Cappy is an actor and writer based in California. He's been in some very well-known films and television shows, has Isaac. And his name is all over the internet. It's gone viral because in the last couple of weeks, Isaac's been talking about what he believes is a paedophile ring working, operating in Hollywood. And he's named some names. And he also contends, does Isaac, that one particular very well-known Hollywood star actually showed him a room where children would be taken. I had a chat with Isaac this afternoon, a bit of a chat about different things. Seems like a pretty lucid guy. Looking forward to chatting to him this evening. He joins me this hour. And coming up in the second hour, he's not been on the programme since February, old friend of ours, Wayne Madsen, a reporter. Check out Wayne Madsen Report. We'll be talking about Trump collusion, how that story just won't ever die, and more besides Wayne Madsen in the second hour. Giving you even the Twitter details. So tweet the programme at your leisure between now and the end of it. This is your Richie Allen Show, live on Fab Radio 2 here in Manchester, triggerwarning.tv, TuneIn Radio and richieallen.co.uk. Tell you what, it's been a scorcher, and I didn't think it was going to be so warm today. In fact, it kind of crept up on me. Late this afternoon, the oft-mentioned future Mrs. Allen walked in the door. She was scorching, she was melting. I said, is it that hot? I felt warm. Didn't think it was that hot. It was 29 degrees in Manchester late this afternoon. It's been very warm. What a summer it's been. So how are you then? How's your Thursday been? Are you well? Interesting, isn't it, watching the, I wouldn't say the fallout from the release from prison of Stephen Christopher Yaxley Lennon, or Tommy Robinson as he likes to be known. It's funny to watch people and their behaviour on social media when people agree with them or disagree with them. Very strange times we live in, don't we? Not going to spend a lot of time on that today, though. Speaking of the oft-mentioned future Mrs. Allen, this is interesting. She came in today and she said, did you see this in the news? And I said, I didn't. And she had a copy of the Sun newspaper. Now, she does not buy the Sun newspaper. Let me get that one in there from the beginning. Nor do I. We've never bought it. Wouldn't entertain the notion of buying it. In solidarity with our Liverpool brethren and sistren, we'd never buy that rag. But it was in the canteen in work today, along with the Metro and the Daily Mirror and the tabloids. There's an interesting story on the front page of the Sun even. I'm reaching for it. Got it here now. This is the first. I usually get the electronic versions of these papers. Do you hear that? That's the real paper. That's the first, yeah. Anyway, the front page of the Sun today, you might find this interesting. Nursery crimes! That's the headline. Nursery crimes! There's actually a nice picture of Jennifer Aniston, the actress, on the front page today about pervs of Hollywood, but I've not read that. Pervs of Hollywood. We're going to be talking about very serious issues around Hollywood shortly, so we'll leave that for the moment. Nursery crimes, nanny state nonsense, says the Sun. What's the story? Well, I'll tell you the story. I'm going to read it. It's written by Adam Bennett and Andy Crick for The Sun. And it reads as follows. A nursery was slated by inspectors for failing to spot if its kids aged from 2 to 4 might become jihadis. Jihadis. A nursery school has been hammered for failing to spot if its 2 to 4-year-old children might become jihadis. Now, parents are annoyed that the Little Ducklings preschool has been criticised and have said this is a great example of the nanny state gone mad. One mother who's got a son at the nursery, which is in middle class Hove in East Sussex, said, this is bonkers. Of course, it's good to stop children being radicalised, but Little Ducklings hardly strikes, I've got to turn over the page, Little Ducklings hardly strikes you as a hotbed for international terrorism. All schools, even those with toddlers, have a legal duty to identify kids who may be vulnerable to radicalisation. The nursery was stripped of its previous outstanding rating. Imagine, Little Ducklings used to have an outstanding rating for rooting out kid haddies. Kid haddies. Right, they used to catch them. Not anymore, though. There's been a spate of beheadings by toddlers in East Hove. Wow. Unbelievable. So the parents are kicking off. Local Tory councillor Dawn Barnett said, it's madness. Gone to the extreme. It's a lovely nursery. This is absolutely crazy. So its outstanding rating for identifying 2 to 4-year-old jihadis has been stripped away. House prices in East Hove must have plummeted through the floor. So is this the nanny state gone mad then? Well, I tell you, dear listener, I'm not so sure. Because the Richie Allen Show was able to smuggle microphones into several nursery schools in the Northwest. Yeah. And what you're about to hear, dear listener, is not for the faint of heart. I can exclusively reveal tonight, August 2nd, 2018, that the UK's nurseries are a front for one of the most diabolical terrorist cells ever seen. Jihadi babies. This is shocking stuff, this. Shocking stuff. And I've got the evidence. I've the evidence. This is a nursery in Warrington. This baby was sitting on the ground, playing with a few pieces of Lego, and repeating over and over and over again to herself.
Araba, Araba, Araba.
Did you hear the evil little laugh there, did you? Little bastard, did you? I haven't been this scared since 1979's The Omen. Warrington. Next stop for that baby is a suicide nappy and a trip to mothercare. Not all bad, though. You'll hear a childminder in this next clip in Blackpool's nursery, trying to teach a 14-month-old child to say Allahu Akbar. This baby, though, is a fucking marine and won't have it. Have a listen.
Allahu Akbar. 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 Oh, Allahu Akbar.
This baby's a marine! A marine! No matter how many times he says Allahu Akbar, the baby's not having it. Now this next baby is in Leeds. Keeps saying Allah over and over and over again, but he could be saying, God, will somebody change my filthy fucking nappy? You be the judge of it. Yeah, I reckon the baby was saying my nappy is absolutely filthy. Please change it for me. And finally, this child was found sitting in a cot. This is the most chilling clip of all. With her fists wrapped around the bars of the cot. Screaming louder and louder and louder.
Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. I'm Muhammad Shula.
I wouldn't babysit for that child for all the money in the world, a little bastard. Head chopper, did you hear her? Tommy Robinson! I take it all back.
What kind of fuckery is this?
Imagine the madness of taking away an outstanding rating from a nursery called the Little Ducklings because it's not doing as well as it could do to root out jihadism amongst its 2 to 4 year olds. Oh my God. Ah! Too much time on my hands today, you could argue. Madness. Absolute madness. And this was in the Metro today, which is a paper given out on the transport routes of the country, on buses and on trains and train stations and bus stations. In the Metro, a girl of 7 has convinced officials to replace unfair road signs to include women. Zoe Carew saw a warning sign near Wellington, New Zealand, that read linemen. And in an email to the head of the New Zealand Transport Agency, she wrote that she wondered why it said men when women can also work on power lines. Zoe wrote, I think that this sign is wrong and unfair. Do you agree? Chief Executive Fergus Gammy did agree and has basically said that signs saying line crew will be phased in to replace the old ones at a cost to the taxpayer of probably hundreds of thousands of dollars. What's going on, eh? The lunacy of the world. Linemen, what difference does it make? Linemen, line women, line persons. Let's change the signs now. Yes, let's do that. Let's do that. Budgets are tumbling. There's not enough money for anything. Let's spend hundreds of thousands of pounds changing this sign so that this child can feel well included in the 21st century. Some music, then. It comes and it goes. Yeah, it's 18 minutes past the hour. Thursday's programme, August 2nd. Scorcher in Manchester, 29 degrees later this afternoon. I think it's going to cool off a little bit tomorrow. I won't mind that. This is your Richie Allen Show, live on Fab Radio 2, triggerwarning.tv. Tune in radio, my own website as well. Coming up in a couple of minutes, Isaac Cappy will join the programme live. Looking forward to that. And Wayne Madsen of Wayne Madsen Report drops in an hour two. Europe's most listened to independent radio show, bar none. Check out richieallen.co.uk for more information on it. BBC.co.uk. Today, interesting story. It went up late this afternoon. BBC, or the BBC, has tried to take on the QAnon phenomenon. And Elizabeth Cassin, who's a well-known writer for the BBC website, and Mike Wendling have taken on the QAnon conspiracy theory, as they call it. Now, it's come up quite a few times in various conversations with people, Mike Rivero, Dean Henderson, the great Maria Heller, of course. I'm pretty neutral. Is that a good word to say about this? I don't buy for a minute that Donald Trump is some deep covert operative working to out the deep state and expose paedophilia and globalists. I don't buy it for a minute. It's, to me, it's a nonsense and it's wishful thinking. But I'm prepared to listen to people and to people's opinions, and it's come up once or twice on phone-ins as well over the last 12 months, because it's about a year old now, isn't it? Wasn't it autumn last year when we began to hear QAnon and 4chan and the anonymous user who claims to have top security clearance with the US government and all of that? I don't buy it. I'm stunned, really, that people have... I can understand people giving it a look, giving it a browse, keeping an open mind at what they read. But for so many people to take it as a given and as a guarantee that this Zionist puppet Donald Trump, which is what he is, in my opinion, try not to be dogmatic maybe as much as maybe I have been speaking about Trump, but the idea that he's some sort of Jack Bauer type character, you know, really working to expose everything from within, to me it's laughable, really, is my opinion. And you can't speak to the people who most promote this without them melting down and becoming abusive. Many of them, of course, using pseudonyms and accounts, Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts, where you can't identify who they are. Screaming abuse at you and offering no evidence other than this guy came out, this 4chan guy putting out information. It's all nonsense, is my opinion. But I'm prepared to listen to any hard evidence that might come my way to prove that maybe I've taken it wrong, or maybe I've taken it lightly. Maybe I should have spent more time on it. But I've been around the block, dear listener. Many, many times over the years, I've seen it all. I've seen them come and go. The heroes of the far left and the heroes of the far right. Every few years, another one comes along, is promoted heavily through the mainstream media as much as the likes of Facebook and Twitter. I suppose Facebook and Google is the mainstream media now. It's actually outgrown the mainstream media when you think that more people now get their information from Facebook and from YouTube than from the biggest news networks in the world. And that's obviously something that's changed in the last 2 or 3 years. But of course, it's those networks, Facebook, Google, YouTube, that are pushing and promoting as hard as they can the champions of the far left and the far right, and people are buying into it. I don't buy into it. So there you go, 22 minutes past the hour. Time for a very quick break. When I come back, Isaac Cappy will join me, chatted with Isaac today about soccer, would you believe, and one or two other things as well. He's an Arsenal fan, is Isaac. We won't hold that against him, though, in this great city. And he's making headlines all around the world in the last few weeks because of videos that he made, because of statements he made on his Twitter page about paedophiles. He's named some very, very prominent people in Hollywood. That's angered a lot of people. There are people who say, Isaac is right, I believe Isaac. There are people who say, well, I don't believe him. We'd have heard about some of these people are so famous. And then there are people who are kind of on the fence, and there are neutrals. And then there are people like me, I'm prepared to give everybody a go, listen to what they have to say, and trust that my audience is clever enough to make their own mind up. So Isaac Cappy, who I think is a nice guy, will be on the programme in about 2.5 minutes' time. If you've got something you'd like me to put to him, tweet it to at Richie Allen Show. That's at Richie Allen Show. And I've just had a couple of tweets about being a big child over that jihadi baby thing. I am a big child. And I never said I was a stand-up comic. What makes me laugh often doesn't make other people laugh. That's often a bad sign when you're the only person laughing. Back in 2 minutes with Isaac Cappy. Don't forget Wayne Madsen in hour two.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever. Forever.
Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show.
And you're very welcome back. Got some terrific people lined up for you next week on the programme, and I'll tell you more about those a little bit later on. Now, my first guest today is an actor who's appeared in some pretty huge films and television shows. He's been in Thor and Terminator Salvation. He was in an episode of Breaking Bad as well. He was in, he's been in lots, and he's also written short films as well. And he came to our attention through listeners getting in touch with the programme last week to say, are you aware, Richie, that there's an actor who's talking about paedophile gangs and paedophilia in Hollywood, and he's named some very powerful and prominent people. And since he's been doing that, he's getting attacked on all sides from the mainstream media and everywhere else. So I had a look in to him and had a chat with him today. Enjoyed chatting with him today about everything and anything. Not so much about what we're going to talk about now, as it happens. He was on InfoWars with Alex Jones yesterday. Watched that and found it very interesting indeed. Delighted to welcome to the programme the actor, as I said, and writer, Isaac Cappy, who's an Arsenal fan for his sins. Isaac, welcome. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Ben? How you doing?
I'm really well, thanks. Thanks for coming on. To say that it's been a crazy few weeks for you would be a bit of an understatement. Do you want to give our listeners a kind of an idea of where this began in terms of in recent weeks? What happened?
Well, in the near term, I've been watching a lot of the political drama play out on on Twitter and in the media space. And when James Gunn's name was brought up, I decided to just come out. I'm an acquaintance of Gunn. I know his friends, so I just something struck me. Like the only way I can really describe it is a divine inspiration, and I just knew that I had to drive down to San Diego and make a stand because these people are tearing our country apart.
Over the years doing programs like this, I've often spoken with people, and I mentioned this to you today, Isaac, who've talked about institutional child abuse in the church, obviously, in the Catholic Church, which has come up a lot. You know, I'm Irish. You do a mean Irish accent. We might hear some of that a bit later on. I'm trying to hold back. Well, we might need to lighten the mood a bit later. That's what I'm saying, because this is serious stuff. This is beyond serious. So we have all this in Ireland. There's obviously a major problem here, and there's a major cover-up of institutional paedophilia here in the UK. I have no doubt about that. But when I would do those programmes, people would get in touch and they would say, and generally they would be people from your neck of the woods, but they wouldn't be people who'd appeared in television or film like yourself. They would be private citizens like me. And they would say, Richie, you don't know the half of it about Tinseltown, about Los Angeles, about Hollywood. And it always came up. And I used to say to people, well, I can imagine a lot of young girls who might have designs on being famous and who might want to be in films and television, you know, might be very, very vulnerable in places like Hollywood, not just in Hollywood, but in any television and film studios anywhere around the world. But people kept saying to me, no, it's much worse than that. It's an open secret that at parties, very young girls and young boys are there and they are preyed upon. Now, it's obvious that you've named people and the names are out there. So it's a bit stupid for me to say don't name them again. But what I am going to say is, and I know Isaac appreciates this because I spoke to Isaac today, I don't and can't possibly endorse anything that Isaac is saying. Not because I think Isaac is a liar or because he's wrong, because I have no knowledge of any of this. Isaac is in every newspaper and magazine in the world in the last few days. This is newsworthy. That's why he's on. I'm not endorsing it. I'm not agreeing with him that these people he's named are paedophiles, because I don't know. And Isaac might have to face up in the future. He might end up in court with some of these people. He knows that as well. He's a big boy. Speak, Isaac, about parties and about this notion that very young boys and girls, we're not talking 15, 16, but young boys and girls are preyed upon. Is this a common thing?
Yeah, it's widespread and it's much bigger than anyone realizes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a short answer.
And you know what? The thing is, like, for years people have been like, why doesn't anyone speak up? Why doesn't anyone name names? And like, you know, that weighed on my mind, you know, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going for it. I know that I am opening myself up to be just abused and attacked. And, you know, the attack started in earnest this week. I think they probably got wind of that I was doing the InfoWars thing. I knew I was going to get more widespread exposure. So they just ran with stuff real fast and loose, blatant lies. So
you've been accused of stuff like attacking Paris Jackson. It seems, yeah. It reads very bizarre. Is there any truth in that? Did anything happen there?
What I have said is that there's a lot more to the situation, and that I don't want to bring Paris into this because okay. I know that Paris is a good person, and I know that she would never ever endorse pedophilia or trafficking children. So like, this made me angry because they're bringing people into the situation to muddy the water. You know, I don't even know that I have time to address all the attacks that are incoming, because, you know, one person prints something and then it's everywhere.
Well, you don't need to worry. I don't plan on spending or wasting any time talking about the things that are being said about you. It's there.
Well, you know what? Sorry to interject, but I'm really, really, really glad and thankful and grateful that these attacks are coming, because it's really, it's showing people how these systems operate. Okay, they're not addressing what I've said, the substantive parts of what I said. They are purely just attacking the messenger, which is me at this point. So it's nice. It's a wake up call for people to see the power of the media and what they can do when they decide that your message is dangerous. And by the way, my core message is, I believe that we should live in a world where children aren't raped, tortured, and or murdered. That's it. So if you have a problem with that, then I think that you are a pretty sick individual.
Listen, I endorse that wholeheartedly. What I'd like you to do for the next 2 or 3 minutes, if you can, is give us some anecdotal in terms of your own life experience. How did a guy like yourself, I'm not saying that you're not a strapping, handsome man, Isaac, you are, but how does a guy like yourself, I mean, listen, we all grow up dreaming of being in films, and you've been modest and said, I'm not a famous actor, and fair enough, okay, you're not, your name is not a marquee name, but you've been in scenes, and you've been in films that have made billions of dollars, and you've been in them. It's a wonderful thing to be able to say that you did. So how did a guy like you end up in films and television and writing and rubbing shoulders at parties, like some of these game nights we might talk about, with some very famous names? How did that come about?
Sure. Let's see. As far as the movie stuff, I moved out here when I was quite young. And how old was I? Like maybe 21. And I was here for a couple of years, didn't really get into any sort of groove. And I was like, I'm over this place. I moved back to New Mexico, where I'm from. And a bunch of movies started filming there, and then all of a sudden I was just like acting in all these movies, and then ended up coming out to LA and meeting people. And I'm a pretty fun person to be around, so, you know, generally, you know, I get invited to lots of parties and stuff.
Yeah.
So I meet a lot of people.
You're easygoing and you get on with people, so you began to go to parties. And were there things going on at those parties that that would have raised your eyebrows?
No, nothing, nothing blatant, like, you know, nothing blatant, but, you know, it's just through those parties, meeting people and then finding out about them and discovering things.
Because actors and actresses would be, I suppose, as gossipy as anybody else in any other profession. Would you be
more so? More so.
Would there be more? Of course they would, right? So yeah. One of my greatest friends is a very successful actress called Jean-Anne Crowley. And Jean-Anne would testify to actors and actresses being a tad insecure. But then again, maybe radio presenters are as well. So they gossip a bit. And in that gossip, Isaac, they'd be saying things that would be worrying about stuff that was going on. Give us an example.
Man, I don't even know where to. Here, let's look at this blatant example, okay? We'll look at someone like Kevin Spacey. His behavior was widespread among people that had never even met him. It was just so blatant, it went on for so long, it was so obvious. Everyone in town knew about Kevin Spacey.
That he had loose hands, Isaac, because he's not charged with sex with a minor or anything like that, but he has been accused of being very free with his hands and being
I'm talking about sex with minors. Bryan Singer is another one. These are like huge, like everyone knows, okay, this is giant open secret, but there has been no desire by local law enforcement or federal law enforcement to take a stance.
Why do you think that is? I mean, surely somebody dropped a dime, to use that great movie term. Surely somebody picked up a phone and said to a sheriff at some stage or another, hey, listen, you know, children are very vulnerable here, and I can tell you Mr. X or Miss Y is abusing children. Are you saying that somebody...
Well,
go ahead.
This points to the larger issue that I've been trying to raise awareness about. Because, you know, these groups, they operate as groups, like, a lone wolf pedophile is not really how they operate. It's highly organized, it's highly secretive, and highly funded, okay? We look at something like, let's look at the New York Times, all right? The New York Times is run by a man named Mark Thompson, who...
BBC.
You might be aware of him. He used to run the BBC.
That's right.
And they covered up for Jimmy Savile for decades, and he was a monster, okay? And they covered up for him. This guy goes to the New York Times,
Well, to be fair, Isaac, and I know you'd expect me to do this, and I do mean this. To be fair, look, I'm like you. I've got serious questions. In fact, this came up on last night's programme. I've got a lot of questions for the executives at the BBC for many years and what they did and what they didn't know. But the problem is we don't know what they did and didn't know. And while I can understand you saying Thompson was at the BBC, he's now at the New York Times, we don't know that Thompson knew about Jimmy Savile. I'm not saying he didn't, but I'm just saying we don't know that he did.
Okay. I'm going to, you know what, once we get off this, I'm going to try to find some documentation. Because, look, this is a pattern, okay? You cannot overlook the pattern. Like, people can claim ignorance, but, you know, if you're the head of this organization, you would probably be keeping tabs on your assets.
Somebody knew. I'll give you this much. Somebody at the BBC knew what Jimmy Savile was doing. And you're taking that and you're placing that in Hollywood. You're saying that the big studio executives, the people who green light films, the power brokers, they know what's going on in Hollywood. They're aware of it, and maybe in some cases, I think you've said, they're participating in it.
Oh, yeah, very much so. They are, this is what I was getting to. It's a worldwide system of blackmail to control people, and the pedophilia is a very easy way to get blackmail, because, you know, once they have pictures of you doing horrible things, then they own you. You are their slave now. And they will make you rich, but you have to do their bidding. So what I'm trying to do is bring awareness to the larger mechanism of control and how it works, because, you know, people have been in the dark for many, 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 many years, and I think it's time for us as a people worldwide to open our eyes to what has been built up around us.
Here's a question for you. Based on what you just said, do you think that young stars or actors, actresses that they want to groom, and I don't mean groom in a sexual sense, but they want to use for 20, 25 years in massive films, do you think it's possible that some of these thespians could be compromised and put in situations that lead to them being entrapped and blackmailed? Do you think that's going on?
Oh, I know it's going on, without a shadow of a doubt.
Something been on my mind for years. I'm not going to mention his name. I'd never do it.
Sure.
But one of my favourite actors in the late 1980s was in several massive popcorn films, but he was also in two or three films that were dramas where he was asked to act and to be brilliant, and he was brilliant. And then in the 90s, he signed himself to a major network, and he only makes films for that network now. You know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to mention his name. And I've often wondered, why does he make popcorn films now? Oh, there's nothing wrong with popcorn films, but this is a great actor with great ability and has done nothing that would ever leave a legacy. He's done nothing for 20 years, and I've often wondered about him. He's also a bit eccentric. I'm not going to say any more than that. So they're doing that. They're getting people drunk, giving them drugs, compromising them, and then they're saying, right, we own you now, you'll do what we say.
Yeah, that's the whole system. And that's not just Hollywood. That is that's Washington, that's City of London, that's London, that's Vatican. It's worldwide. It's a worldwide system. And these people are connected worldwide.
You're critics now, and I think you've already gotten a flavour. I think you said to me today you've heard one or two of our programmes before. You know that I'm neutral, and I'm genuine, and I'm decent. I'm not here to...
you're a Man United fan, so I don't know if you're decent.
I might not be decent. No. I can take that one after my Arsenal jibes earlier. But look, your critics are saying, Isaac, they're saying, how the hell does Isaac Cappy know any of this stuff? How could he possibly know? And what solid evidence does he have to support the naming of the big names that you've mentioned? And look, it's out there. You've named Spielberg and you've named Hanks and others. And people will say, this is preposterous. Where's his hard evidence? Over to you.
Well, because some of these people have told me that what they're into. And they wear it on their sleeve. They use the symbology. They flaunt it. They have flaunted it. They thought that no one would ever catch on. And, you know, the people caught on.
You're saying some of these major names told you personally that they're into it.
Oh, no, I mean, personally, Seth Green did, but and his wife, but the major names, a lot of those major names are open secrets. Like, you know, it's the same thing as the Spacey thing. Spielberg, for instance, there's a girl named Heather O'Rourke, who is in The Poltergeist. She died under, well, very mysterious circumstances, and there are stories about her being raped on a set and having to be rushed to medics and her dying weeks later.
They're stories, you know, stuff, aren't they? They're just stories, stuff, though. Yeah.
Hold on. This stuff is out there. It's just, it's not pushed by the media, because the media has been controlled by the same blackmail networks. And that's what I'm shining a light to. It's like, people, wake up. These guys, they don't want you to know the truth of the world. They're just pushing an agenda. They want to control your mind. They want to control your emotions to further their sick tendencies.
Let me put this to you, Isaac. But let me just remind our listeners, by the way, Isaac Cappy is on the line. Thanks for coming on, by the way. I know you're
Thanks,
in...
Kevin.
No, I know, and thanks. I know you're in demand. A lot of people want to talk to you, and I do appreciate that. Isaac is an actor and a writer, and as I mentioned earlier on, he's featured in some of the biggest films in recent times and television shows as well. And he's all over the internet now, news networks, celebrity news networks, websites, because of claims that he's made in recent weeks about paedophilia in Hollywood. And some of the biggest names in Hollywood films in recent years and directors that Isaac has said are involved in this. Now, you mentioned Seth Green, so I'm going to put this out there. He's not here to defend himself. I'm sure Seth Green and his wife are screaming bloody murder back home. They're saying, we don't recognise any of this. We don't know what's going on. But I want to ask you about a letter. Now, this was published by TMZ. I make no judgment whatsoever on this letter because I don't know what it's about. But you wrote a letter, a couple of letters to Seth Green and his wife, and they're friendly, the letters, up to a point, and then the letters imply that, they seem to imply that you don't trust them or that you might be worried that they might do something to you. What were those letters about? Because the media is saying that these letters are proof that you're a bit crazy, that you're a bit bonkers. So what are those letters about?
Well, if you read the letters, it actually substantiates my claim, you know, more than it discredits me. And the media is, you know, they're running fast and loose, trying to get ahead of me, and they are frightened by me. The first letter referenced a dead man switch by which information would be released, because that was an insurance policy on my life, because I knew that I knew... a lot about a very, very evil and illegal organization that they were involved with. So I had to hedge myself. I'm not a man of means. I'm not rich. I can't hire private security. You know, I rent my house. I don't have means. So I had to be smart and think of ways to, you know, just get the threat off of my back immediately.
Yeah, because I read that letter and it does read a bit like that. It reads like you're saying to them, look, you say to them that you love them and you care very much about them and that you wouldn't do anything to harm them, but then you're kind of saying to them, look, it would be foolish of me to trust you, and that you've implemented a series of triggering events. The letter implies that you might be worried that there might be retaliation coming from these people, but the media are saying, and they've published these letters in pictures, because they were written in capital letters. You're one of those guys that writes in capital letters.
Yeah, I have horrible handwriting.
Is that why you do it? Because to the media, they say this capital letter writing is evidence that Isaac is mad. Now, I'll tell you something, Isaac. I chatted with you today. I've listened to you. I've watched your videos. I heard you speaking with Alex Jones. I don't think you're mad at all. And I don't think you're lying. I think you believe what you are saying. Now, whether what you are saying is true, I think generally it might be true, but I'm not sure that it's true about individuals, because I don't know. Let me ask you this. You mentioned Seth Green and You said that Seth said stuff to you and he showed you something.
Well, hold on. Can I interject for a moment?
Anytime you want. Go ahead.
They're making all these claims about my mental state and using a lot of colorful language to paint a picture of me. But have they ever reached out to have me on to address this?
Very important question. We talked about this today.
They haven't. They haven't reached out. They're just running fast and loose. And this is again. I am so thankful that this is happening because it is showing in real time what happens to someone who speaks out. It is a character assassination. They do it all the time when they are when they're threatened by someone's words. And in America, we have free speech, and they use that in a very harmful way, in a very harmful way. I knew that this was just going to be a poop storm. Okay, like I knew it was going to be bad, and I don't, you know, it's really not fazing me too much. Although I will say after. We had our little brief chat earlier. I went to the supermarket, and I was getting very weird looks.
Well, you're out there now. I mean, it's one thing being in the films in the slightly lesser roles that you had, and again, you've been very modest about that, but now your picture is everywhere. It's all over the place. Yeah. By the way,
this is just... I'm actually more of a musician and an artist than I am an actor. I love acting, but I'm more of a musician than an artist. But anyways, that's just a small point.
Could Seth Green... Now, look, Seth Green is innocent until proven guilty. And
sure.
Seth Green is entitled to scream at you and say, if you've got any evidence, you go to the police and let the police handle it. And, you know, he would be entitled to say that. And if he feels that he's being libeled by Isaac or by anybody... He's got that remit to go to a lawyer and say, sue the pants off of him. And who knows, you know, that might happen. Like I said, I'm completely neutral here, but this stuff is out there. There's no point in pretending it's not out there. Here's a question, Isaac, and I'm not insulting your intelligence and I'm not patronising you at all. What Seth Green said, or at least what you claim he said to you, and I believe that you believe that, could he have been yanking your chain, Isaac?
No, because the tone in which it was delivered was very serious, and it just contextually doesn't work out. And by the way, I have said from the get-go, I said, come meet me face-to-face, call me a liar. Like, if what I'm saying is a lie, come meet me face-to-face. And I've also said, if what I'm saying is a lie, sue me. Because, you know, in a civil trial, there is no Fifth Amendment.
Is that right? I didn't know that about your legal system.
Yeah, it's right. So, like, look, I've been very open about this from the get-go because I know that they don't want the discovery process because that will just... so much stuff will come out. And that's why I feel so confident saying what I'm saying, you know? I don't take these claims lightly. These are very, very serious allegations, okay? Like, it's serious, and I get the gravity of the situation. So, that being said, there wasn't even a response. Even up until Saturday, someone showed me a message. People were like, what about this? What about this? There was something on Instagram. They're like, how do you respond to these allegations? And he's like, what allegations? By who? It's like, it's just evasive behavior. And if you know anything about sociopathy, or sociopaths, you can spot the behavior right away.
Let me just be the devil's advocate with respect to CNN. Now, I don't like any of these conglomerates, these global networks, these news organizations. I don't like them at all. But as a producer myself of commercial and national radio before becoming a presenter, they might justifiably say, well, we spoke to Corey Feldman. The reason... we have passed on Isaac Cappy is because he's mentioned these people. And CNN and Fox might say, well, it's very difficult for us now to bring him on because, you know, we might end up in all sorts of trouble because obviously Fox and CNN have got money to burn. Isaac. And I'll tell you something else. I'd love a major news network to accuse me of doing something I didn't do, because to be a nice way to earn some easy cash by suing them. So maybe, to be the devil's advocate, maybe that's not why they've, or maybe that's why they've not been in touch with you yet, although there's still time. What do you make of Corey Feldman? Is it true that you reached out to him? And if you did, was there any response from Corey?
You know, I was, in the beginning, I was just like, oh, I'm going to leave Corey alone. He's suffered enough. But he's come out attacking me. Frankly, I don't care. He's been like dangling this carrot for years. Like, I'm going to name names. I'm going to name names. And, you know, nothing ever materializes. So I don't care what he says. You know, I think the proof is in the pudding with him. I don't care.
Here's a question. When I mentioned this to you today, I've been thinking about it. When somebody says something to you, whether it's, so you're at a party and you meet an actress, and she says to you, Isaac, I found out that this is going on at Mr. X's house. Or when a major actor, as you've claimed, we've already mentioned him, you say that he told you that there's a secret room and that there's
He showed me.
He showed you, excuse me. No, you, that's right. You say that he showed you. When he said that, what was your reaction to that? What did you say back to him? Because I don't want to sound like a virtue signaler. I don't know what I would do. I'd probably look at him and say, if anybody said that to me, I would say, Jesus, you're a sick bastard. What did you say?
Here's the thing, man. You got to keep in mind, these people were my close friends and I loved them. I adored them. So, it's a lot of cognitive dissonance that went on, and honestly, just shock. And yeah. And actually, you know, I've had people, I've had so many people reaching out to me, and I've spent a lot of time just talking to people. But one guy in particular reached out. He's like, dude, I know your situation. I had a friend and a business partner, and I found child porn on his computer, and like, he didn't know what to do, and like, he never turned his friend in, and like, he says he feels bad about it. But it's a conflicting situation, okay? Because it's just emotionally, it's just, you know, to imagine you find out your best friend is into stuff, you know, that is like, that you find abhorrent. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. And it ate me up inside for a very, very long time.
But you didn't reap. Your critics now will hammer you. And Seth Green, again, is not here. And if he was here, and if Seth Green was, I doubt he's listening to this program, but if he was, he would be screaming at his radio to tell me, to shout at you, if you saw this and if you heard this, why did you not immediately go to the authorities? This is not messing around. This is serious stuff. And that's what they would say, and that's what he would say. What's your answer to that?
I've heard this a lot, but being that I'm a scholar, I study a lot of things, and hey, one of them is how these networks operate. You cannot trust the authorities. It's been proven. This stuff goes all the way up to the highest levels of government. I mean, I remember watching a documentary called it's about the Franklin cover-up.
Yes, of course.
Conspiracy of Silence.
The credit union, the Franklin Credit Union scandal. Yeah, major scandal. Yeah.
Conspiracy of Silence.
Yeah.
I think it's on YouTube. I watched this thing 10 years ago. You know, so this, and that was all the way up to the White House. All right. So you cannot trust that the authorities will be on your side, and if anything, going into the authorities can put you in a lot of danger historically. A lot of people have died investigating this stuff. Nancy Schaefer was a woman in Georgia who was investigating the Child Protective Services. She found a lot of bad stuff. She was murdered. Max Spears, another researcher who was he was investigating Michael Aquino, dead. Monica Peterson went down to Haiti, Clinton Foundation, dead, okay? These rings are highly dangerous. And being that I knew that, I did not want to make myself a target. Because, you know, like I said, I'm not a rich man. And, you know, when you're accusing someone who is very wealthy, you're at a big disadvantage because people can be bought. And that's part of the whole blackmail thing.
Have you heard from anybody connected to any of the people you've named? Because you've named quite a few people. Has any attorney representing anybody got in touch with you?
No. Nope.
Not yet.
No, they're not going. Don't say not yet, because they're not going.
I wasn't being sarcastic.
Well, no, I don't.
Not at all. I'm just being honest. I've got to be completely objective. I can't sure. endorse what you're saying. I can't say you're lying. I don't know. That's the whole point of... I met you today. I like you. I like the sound of you. But I have to keep an open mind, and as well as I should do. And of course, it's a possibility that somebody might get in touch with you. But my questions are not meant to make you uncomfortable. They're just to put the other side of it to you as well. You know, because it's a very serious situation. This look with respects to Haiti. And Peterson, of course, and the Franklin Credit Union scandal, I'm with you all day long. These are things that I've been talking about for many, many years, these cover-ups. I have no doubt that the political and media elites of the world prey on children. I have no doubt. I'm not saying that every one of them do, but it's definitely satanic paedophilia is a real thing. I just worry that sometimes innocent people might get caught up in the attempt to unearth it and uncover it. I'm not accusing you of doing that, but everybody that you've named, they're innocent until proven guilty, charged even, before they're even charged. I've got to keep saying that. These are people that are entitled to say, well, hang on a second. You know, if somebody wants to make an accusation against me, let there be an investigation. That's all I'm saying. Strange.
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you.
These are tough times for you now, though, because... I was thinking of you today, and I know you said to me a few minutes ago that you're more a musician than an artist. I've been reading a lot about you, as any decent presenter would do. I've, you know, learned quite a bit about you. You're obviously a very smart person. You're obviously a very good writer. You're multi-talented musician as well. You're funny, and you do a mean accent. You do some bloody good accents. I could see a lot of radio work in your future. But it's a big risk what you've done, career-wise, really. I mean, it could be suicide. I don't mean, please God, nothing will ever happen to you. But it could be career suicide, Isaac. It is, really.
You know what? People have said, you'll never work in this town again. And I say, well, you know, how are you so sure that the way this town has worked is going to continue?
Yeah.
Because, look. I feel like we're entering an era where your integrity is your currency. People want the truth. People want someone that's not going to lie and manipulate them. And you know what? I have taken a big risk, and it's straight up. But people have responded, and the responses I'm getting are just through the roof positive. Like, I can't even count the times that I've cried just weeping because of what people wrote me. It's just so
you're hearing from victims, Isaac.
Yeah, I am. I'm hearing from victims. I've had numerous people say that I saved their life.
People that have
there's one man who messaged me like very late. I don't remember what night it was, but it was very late after I'd been just going all day on this stuff. And he was in a very, very bad state. He was emotionally just wrecked. I chatted with him for like 20 minutes and, you know, just showed him love. And then a couple of days later, he says, you know what? I was about to end my life and you spent time with me. And you are my brother for life.
You listened to him and you gave him a bit of time.
That just touched me. Immeasurably, because, you know, if I can just touch one person's life like that, it's just the biggest honor in the world, you know?
Here's a question. I'll make this the final question for today. You're welcome to come back on again anytime you want, when there's information, when there's news. Be glad to have you back. Here's a question. I don't believe, now I reserve the right to my belief, I don't believe that Donald Trump is on some crusade to unearth the sickening rates of child abuse and child torture and child trafficking in the United States. I don't believe it. And I have got a lot of reasons for not believing it, and I've explained them I've bored the shite out of my listeners by telling them why I don't believe it. So I'm not going to say it again. You have more faith in Trump. So I'm going to give you the final word and tell me why you think that. Why do you believe that Trump is somebody who takes this seriously and might try to put a stop to it?
Well, I would say the first thing is look at the people who are attacking them and how vigorously they are attacking him. Look at the arrests for trafficking and pedophilia. They have gone way up. He's made task force on this stuff. And that we're even having this conversation, you know, after the Podesta emails leaked, you know, this came really big time into the public consciousness. And we've had incidents in the past where this stuff got covered up. You know, there's the Presidio scandal, the Franklin cover-up, there's the Dutroux affair, Haiti. There's numerous instances where this stuff just went back into the memory hole. But the mainstream media is going apoplectic. They're attacking me, who, by the way, my core statement is, I believe we should live in a world where children are not raped, tortured, and murdered. And if any decent human being on earth should agree with that. So it should tell you a lot that they're coming at me when that is my core message. And that we're even having this conversation, that is what leads me to believe that we're on the right track.
It was good to speak with you today, now on the show. Is there an online resource you want to direct people to, Isaac, where they can find out?
Yeah,
more?
I would say people should go to my Twitter, which is my Twitter handle is at Isaac Cappy, ISAACKAPPY. That's kind of been where I've been doing most of the stuff. And also my Periscope, which I don't know the link offhand, but, you know, people will post it when I do them. I try to do them at least once a day. It's been a little bit slower because I've, you know, been doing media. But if you wanna hear my message and get connected with other people who believe that this is a fight worth fighting, you should go there, because there are a lot of people that are very charged up and they feel great about what we're doing. I feel great about what we're doing. It's beautiful. We're changing the world together.
Well, Isaac, good to speak with you. And stay in touch with me.
You too, lad.
Thanks very much.
So, no, here's the question I want to ask you. Like, maybe next time I'm in London, we go to the pub, have a few pints.
It's not bad, that. It's not bad at all. It's better than not bad. As long as you're paying, we can have a few pints.
You're barking at the wrong tree for that, buddy.
Fair enough. Take care of yourself. Thanks for coming on the show today. We'll stay in touch via Twitter, you and I, and Skype. And when there's more information, we'll get you back on. Godspeed. Look after yourself.
Thanks so much for having me, buddy. Take care.
Thanks, Isaac. Isaac Cappy there, live on the line to us from the Pacific Coast in the United States. Now, let me make one thing clear. I do not, have not, and will not ever endorse the claims made by a third party on this programme. I can't. And I must point out, in the absence of the very famous people that Isaac has mentioned, I have to do, in their absence, the right thing, which is to say they've never been tried, let alone convicted of anything. And they have the absolute right to say that if this guy, Isaac Cappy, or Corey Feldman, or anybody else has got any solid information or irrefutable evidence, they should put it in front of a policeman, or a policewoman, to be politically correct. They're absolutely right, as private citizens, to have the afforded to them their human right of innocent until proven guilty. There's no point in pretending on this programme tonight that he hasn't mentioned these massive names, and that those names haven't been mentioned in publications online for the last few weeks. I don't endorse any of the claims he's made against individuals at all. At all. What I do believe, though, is that child abuse and satanic paedophilia is rampant. And I have no doubt that it has happened and happens in Hollywood. I have no doubt in my mind. I've heard from so many people over the years on this, credible people, credible researchers, that it's gone on for decades there. So, interesting guy. And I said at the top of the program, and I said it today when I spoke to Isaac privately today, and this is, again, I'm not patronising you. I trust that my audience is pretty smart. And when they listen to people on this program, regardless of what they think I think about that person, my audience is smart enough to make their own mind up. They won't be led by me or led by the guest. They'll look at it and say, well, yeah, or no, I'm not having that. That's the way it works. Isaac Cappy, 8 minutes past the hour, Thursday's programme, the 2nd of August 2018. Loads of tweets, but I can't get into them because Wayne Madsen was due with me about 3 minutes ago. He's a patient man. I'm going to dial him up. While I do that, I'm going to take a very quick break. Wayne Madsen next, and I'm going to ask him, what does he make of the claims made by Isaac Cappy and others? And we'll also talk about the latest Trump collusion claims coming out of Washington, D.C. Your Richie Allen Show, back in two.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever. Forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today.
Welcome back to the programme. Always good to be with you. You know that Richie Allen Show live on Fab Radio 2, TuneIn Radio, TriggerWarning.tv and richieallen.co.uk. Sweltering evening here in the great city. There isn't a store outside. There's not a breeze. I'm looking out the window. It's very still and it's very, very warm in the studio. This is the weather that we had last week for 3-4 days, which led to me taking my... Because I take 2 weeks holiday in August every year. I've said this to you already a couple of times, but I don't want there to be any confusion. So I took a week last week because of the heat. It was terrible. Didn't want to do it. Not convenient for me at all to do that last week, but I did it. Which means that on August 20th, I'll be taking 1 week and 1 week only. And then I'll be back the following week. But tonight, it's pretty much like it was last week. It's unbearable, to be honest. It's that warm. 12 minutes past the hour. Let me... I don't know what I've done. What a plonker. I've closed down. Oh, yeah, I'll be all right. Keep the tweets coming in. A lot of comment on the conversation I had with Isaac. Number of you saying that you're unsure about it. One or two of you saying that maybe Isaac is putting out a bit of disinformation. Who knows? Who knows? He might be. I'll tell you what I said to Isaac, if you didn't hear me say it, and I mean it. I think he believes what he's saying. I think, and I can accept that. I can accept somebody coming on the program who believes what they're saying, even if what they're saying is hard to believe, right? And I don't believe Isaac. I don't not believe Isaac. I'm neutral. I'm interested because all of this stuff is in the public domain and has been for the last few days. My next guest is a journalist. He's a terrific journalist. You see this bloody... I can't get rid of the sounds on this. Excellent journalist. He's been on the programme many, many times before. An expert in intelligence and geopolitics. Check out Wayne Madsen Report. I've put and will put links out to Wayne's website for people who haven't heard him before. Terrific political and geopolitical analyst. It's been quite a while since he was on the programme. Let's welcome back our friend Wayne Madsen. Wayne, welcome back.
Hi, good to be with you.
It's always good to be with you. Wayne, we have a saying, don't we, us media types, silly season. We don't have any silly season this year, Wayne. It's crazy.
No, it's crazy. No, anything but.
Are you taking a holiday this summer, or are you just going to plow through it?
There are no vacation days, I find, with this administration. I used to think in the past that a lot of news that was being largely ignored would you'd have some major development that would drop on Friday afternoons, usually after work, around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But as this administration has shown, any day you could have a massive drop of news, and you know, every day is almost like a Friday late afternoon in previous administrations.
Now, and that's a good point to make, because often politicians, be it US politicians or European ones, the big ones, the presidents and the prime ministers, they often, if there's something they don't want to get out, you made a very good point there, by the way, my friend. Our listeners might not be aware of it. But if they don't want stuff to grow legs in the press, they will release it on a Friday afternoon, won't they? Because
that's right.
They hope it'll get lost. Yeah,
Washington, Harry. Washington's no different than London when it comes to that. Because usually on Friday afternoons, after the politicians, at least in Washington, the politicians have usually flown off to their home states and districts on Thursday evening. And many of the journalists and pundits are usually found at the local bars enjoying happy hours.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Would I be right in saying, you and I have spoken many times over the years, but I don't think I've ever asked you this. Back on September 10th, 2001, which I think was a Monday, I was working for WLRFM in Ireland, big commercial station, and I remember reading about the $2.3 trillion going missing from the Pentagon coffers. And I can say with honesty, Wayne, as a young reporter, I did find it funny that somebody allowed that get out right at the beginning of the week. And I wonder, with hindsight, do you think, looking back, that somebody knew on Monday, September 10th, well, don't worry about admitting you lost $2.3 trillion, because by tomorrow, nobody will be talking about it.
Yeah, and there was that, and, you know, I tracked, of course, I found out afterwards, there were a lot of suspicious put options on various stocks made on the New York and American stock exchanges leading up to 9/11, and I kept hammering the 9/11 Commission at their press conferences on that very issue, and they, aside from, oddly enough, aside from the chairman, Tom Kane, the former governor of New Jersey, most of the people were not interested in the put options on stocks like, for example, United Airlines, American Airlines, and some of the insurance companies and reinsurers who were left holding the tab for the destruction.
Of course.
Lower Manhattan.
Of course they didn't want people looking into nefarious trading activity, Wayne, because who knows what else that would have thrown up. Of course they
That's
didn't.
Right. That's
Absolutely.
Right.
Wayne Madsen, great journalist. Our friend is back on the program after a few months. Great to have him back on. You've been covering DC for forever, Wayne. You're not that old, but for a long time. And did you ever think you'd witness the lunacy? I can't believe, as somebody who came through commercial media, to get up every day and to see a troll battle going on between the President of the United States, various members of the Justice Department, Democrats. I mean, childish, almost like schoolboy and schoolgirl stuff. Do you sometimes think that we're all on candid camera and at some stage Dom DeLuise is going to jump out and say, this is all a joke, folks. It's all just a big joke. It's crazy, Wayne.
Well, comments between politicians were usually saved for not before the media, not before the public. There are many, many stories about politicians in days of yore speaking ill of their opponents, but this has taken things to a new level, a very low level. I've never seen it come to the point where, and I witnessed some of this myself in covering the Trump campaign in 2016, being kept behind these barricades at these Trump rallies, where he would start haranguing the media, and then we would have things like paper cups thrown at us, wadded up pieces of paper, people spitting, and yelling all sorts of profanities. And apparently that is continuing unabated. It's something, and if you're doing live television shots, you get there's a real problem. Because if the profanity is overheard and it's live television, a very momentary delay, if you've got a good program engineer back at your studio. But if some foul language goes over the air, the network or the station can be fined by the FCC. So that these reporters are put in a very bad position to have 50 to 100 people all using the F word. For example,
you've got to be quick on the draw with the sliders and the faders to try and omit some of that stuff.
And you can't omit, and the posters that they show, we don't know whether the FCC includes written profanity under the rules. I think it's a gray area. It's usually what can be audibly heard on television or over the radio. But there were plenty of those types of posters being shown at the recent, and at many of them, these Trump rallies.
When, as I've been on air tonight, you'll be aware of this, and since I got in touch with you today, Dan Coats has been speaking, the Director of National Intelligence, and again, he's saying that, to quote him directly, we, the intelligence agencies, collectively are continuing to see a pervasive messaging campaign by Russia to divide and weaken the United States. They're saying that democracy, in terms of the elections this year, the midterms, and the presidential election in 2020, is going to be targeted by the agents of Russia. What's the truth, Wayne? What's really happening?
They're using the wrong terminology when they say Russia. I've been looking at the collection of individuals who have been either named in indictments or are under investigation, and it's quite clear when you look at that information and you add it with the people who Trump has had an association with for several decades. We're talking about oligarchs, extended corporations with all sorts of limited liability corporations, shell companies. But essentially what they should be saying is Russian organized crime. And it's not limited to just Russia. You can throw in Ukrainian organized crime. Many of these individuals who have made loans to the Trump organization over the years and are now stand accused of funneling foreign money into his campaign and providing payment in kind services such as, hey, we'll give you dirt on Hillary Clinton, for example. Many of these individuals are not wedded to any particular country. Yes, many are from Russia. Some are from Ukraine. Some are from Moldova and Latvia. But they carry multiple passports. They have multiple countries of residence, Israel included. Many of them carry Israeli passports. Others carry British passports, as you're probably aware. Now, Britain is finally looking at some of these people who have invested heavily in Britain, whether, you know, they should have sold these British passports or these residency permits so quickly to people who are tied up with organized criminal activity. Now, they claim, oh, we're just businessmen. Yeah, but first of all, you got to go back and look how they made their money. After the fall of the Soviet Union, they purchased Soviet state industries, basically 5 cents to the dollar, or even better deals than that, and became overnight instant billionaires. Many of these people were already involved in smuggling in the final days of the Soviet Union, so they were already considered gangsters. And now they're considered international businessmen who were supposed to hold in high esteem. Well, unfortunately, these same individuals, when Donald Trump's business empire, which included casinos and in Atlantic City, for example, when they went belly up, guess who provided the cash to bail them out? Well, guess what? The note is due, or has been due for the last few years, and they're trying to collect. And the way they're trying to collect is to have basically the Trump administration do their bidding. Now, does the Russian government benefit by that? To some extent, it does. Obviously, we know that Putin, who keeps track of all these oligarchs, as a matter of fact, he's as much under the control of these oligarchs, these syndicates, as Trump is. He's been under their control a lot longer. His predecessor, Boris Yeltsin, was totally under their control. So when these people say Russia, they're being very simplistic. Why don't they just say what is really being investigated here? And it's Russian, Ukrainian, with, you know, you can throw in the other countries they're resident of, Israel, Switzerland, Britain, and some countries in South America even. But I guess, you know, that's too simplistic for a lot of the viewing and listening audience. They have to say Russia, but that's actually an incorrect term.
That's interesting. And I'll get accused of the usual, but I'll say it anyway. I will ask it anyway. Because of the things he's done with respect to the embassy in Jerusalem, doing Israel's bidding by saying that the Iran nuclear deal is, you know, to be ripped up, by calling for more sanctions on Iran, this collusion or this effort to get Trump into the White House, ultimately, do all roads lead to Israel?
Yeah, Israel and, of course, these oligarchs.
Yeah.
And, you know, Oleg Deripaska is a name we've heard. There's many others. And every time there's a news report, like today, apparently, the name Agalarov, that's Emin Agalarov. He's like a self-styled rock singer in Russia. He's actually, the family's from Azerbaijan, and his father is one of these oligarchs. Well, he had his emissary present at that so-called Trump Tower meeting back in 2016. That's under investigation now by the special prosecutor. Well, apparently this guy Agalarov has now agreed to turn witness for the special prosecutor. And this is going to build up the case quite, you know, because this guy actually knows where a lot of the money was going and where it was coming from. Agalarov is key because this was his father was the guy who was bankrolling the Trump Tower in Moscow that never happened because of sanctions. And also, he was Trump's partner in the Miss Universe pageant, where it's said that Trump partook of in some services rendered by some Russian ladies of the evening. So yeah, this is having this guy Agalarov flip. To me, that's even more important than having Manafort, Paul Manafort, who's on trial right now, flip.
Of course, Manafort, yeah, and we could talk about that. If, I mean, you and I have spoken many times, and you've written for years about the Zionist lobby and its influence in DC, which is all pervasive. They must love Trump, so why can't these people make Trump's problems go away, Wayne? That's a pretty basic but a good question, I think.
Well, because, you know, that lobby is pretty diverse. They don't sing from the same choir sheet anyway. You know, you've got factions, obviously, that support Trump. People like, well, Paul Singer, who's the venture capital, the vulture capitalist who tries to buy up debt of third world countries and then turns around and screws them. Sheldon Adelson, who is the big casino tycoon who donates a lot of money to Republicans and also to provides a lot of support to Israel through his media operations. Steve Wynn, another casino tycoon, who was actually a member of the Finance Committee for the Republican Party, was just hit with in the Me Too movement. Adelson hasn't been hitting that yet. I think he's so old, you know, he doesn't have to worry about any women.
Right, okay.
And he's got a nasty wife who would probably kill him if she caught him, you know, doing something with any other women. But so that's one section, and they're totally committed to Trump. And then you've got, you know, others in the mostly in the Democratic Party. Who are committed to Israel, but are they all that committed to Netanyahu? No, because see, Netanyahu, like Trump and Putin, is as much beholden to these criminal syndicates, because look at the influx, where the greatest influx of people have come from into Israel for the Aliyah, you know, the return over the last few decades. They're all from like the former Soviet Union. They all have money. They've all set up shop in, you know, the West Bank and settlements that they've basically taken over. And, I mean, the reason he's got Avigdor Lieberman now as his Minister of Defense, Lieberman is a product of the gangsters in Eastern and Central Europe. He used to be a nightclub bouncer in Moldova. And now he's the Minister of Defense for Israel. So, you know, once a gangster, always a gangster. Trump dealt with gangsters when he was building his buildings in Manhattan and in Atlantic City, the casinos, the hotels. He was dealing with the, you know, Nicky Scarfo Sr., the head of the mafia in Philadelphia and Atlantic City. He was dealing with the five mafia families in New York. And guess what? You know, it rubbed off. Donnie's as much a gangster as Nicky Scarfo was, and he's proud of it. He said, yeah, I had some of the mob guys pour my concrete.
Wow.
Unfortunately, some of that concrete was probably being poured to give some of the people who knew too much cement overshoes, and they're probably
boots,
in East River now. You know, to understand what this administration is like, at least, you know, with Trump and his closest associates and former associates like this guy Scaramucci, who's a gift that keeps on giving, and now his lawyer Rudy Giuliani, who tried to take credit for the fact he broke up the five mafia families in New York. You know, that's the Lucchese's, the Gambino's,
the Genovese,
Genovese. Colombo, I'm forgetting one or two of them.
Well, there.
But he put them out. He says, "Oh, I put them out of business." He did, and then he turns around and he allows other gangsters to take over. People with the last name of Kushner, for example, Silverstein. Anyone who knows about 9/11 knows who I'm talking about.
Larry Silverstein. You said something that's hugely interesting. I want to pick you up on that. I'm mindful of time as well. I know you've got more to do. WayneMadsonReport.com is Wayne's website, by the way. Subscribe to it if you haven't before. Bookmark it. Terrific stuff by Wayne. You said that there would be oligarchs, some of them Jewish business people, that wouldn't be enamored of, wouldn't like Netanyahu. This is concerning because as nutty, as lunatic as Netanyahu is, there's actually even a more hard-line Zionist that could replace him, even worse than him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned. I mean,
yeah.
Now he's had the ability to bring some of these more radical right wing elements into his government. People like Lieberman, who he made Minister of Defense. While that may be good for Netanyahu, and by the way, we have to also remember Netanyahu and his wife are under criminal investigation. His wife's been indicted already. Now one could say, well, it was for, you know, misuse of government funding.
Yeah,
well, yeah, I mean, this is what they're looking into some members of the Trump family for. But it's always the little things they go after first and wait to get the big items later. But yeah, I mean, he's not out of the woods himself as far as an investigation is concerned. But there are definitely you've got some of these oligarchs living in Jerusalem, on the West Bank now. They travel freely back to Russia or Ukraine. And, you know, I mean, Netanyahu and Putin are always meeting with one another. It's probably one of the reasons that Syria is still, a halfway viable country. Otherwise, Israel would have probably tried to occupy all of Syria. But Putin has been able to use his sort of, criminal network with Netanyahu to keep Netanyahu from launching an invasion
and
of Syria.
I believe you're absolutely right to say that. And I've mentioned several times on this program in the last few months these meetings between Putin and Netanyahu that none of Trump's supporters, the fanaticism of Trump's supporters scares, it doesn't scare me, but it's worrying in terms of the cognitive dissonance of people. Yeah, they want to hate Hillary. They have every reason to despise the criminal that is Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. That woman should be in prison. She should be kept alive so that she can stay in prison for 1,000 years. This is one of the most evil human beings on planet Earth. I have no doubt about it. But the fanaticism of Trump supporters, that they can't even see that. And you know, they can't make a simple connection, Wayne. Trump's supporters can't make this simple connection. If Trump was this crusading maverick out to destroy the deep state, why wouldn't Trump dump all that he knows about the Clintons all over the media? That's a fair question for Trump's most...
We just had a news conference at the White House. If Trump is supposed to be the crusader against the deep state and against the neocon wars, why in the hell is John Bolton the national security advisor? He was just standing at the podium at the White House briefing room talking about how they're doing so much to prevent a replay of the 2016 election in 2018. This is John Bolton. This is a guy that wanted to blow up 10 stories of the UN Secretariat building. This is John Bolton. It wasted no opportunity to advocate bombing Iran. You know, this is John Bolton that says, I have a three-state solution for the Palestinians. Israel will take over the West Bank, Jordan, Egypt will take over Gaza, and Jordan will get, a few enclaves under Israeli supervision in the West Bank. That's his solution. That's called the three-state solution.
A madman. And yet when he was appointed, you can't rationalize with people that, you know, are cult-like in their worship of somebody. Got to say this, Wayne, before we run out of time, WayneMansonReport.com, folks. Check out Wayne. It's great to have you back, Wayne. It's been too long. Let me, speaking of the monster that is Hillary Clinton, is she going to have a pop at the presidency again in 2020? Do you believe that's going to happen? No.
she's out of it. I mean, you know, people used to say back in like 2006 and, well, even before 2004, oh, Al Gore, aren't you going to run again? And, you know, and he basically said no. I mean, and they moved on, and the Democrats have moved on. You've got new blood now rising up in the Democratic Party, and none of them are connected to Hillary Clinton. Or for that matter, a lot of them don't want to have anything to do with Bernie Sanders either. I mean, they'd rather move past that. And you know, like I say, there's new blood. There's new blood beyond Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. You see it now with the Democrats. They said, look, we need to get a grassroots operation going. And guess what? Coming out of the grassroots are a new generation of leaders that people really are excited about, and if they throw out Hillary Clinton or Pelosi or any of these people, you know, it's just going to turn people off.
What about the young Kennedys, Wayne?
Oh well, there is this one Congressman Kennedy, grandson of Teddy. I'd say, you know, he's got a he's got to spend a few more years in Congress before he starts to make any sort of impact. There was, of course, Patrick Kennedy, who was Teddy's son, who was a congressman for Rhode Island. That did not work out real well. He, you know, he had problems with driving while under the influence of something, and there were a lot of incidents involving him, and he's no longer in Congress. So just because the last name is Kennedy, at least relative to the Kennedys of Massachusetts, there's no sure fire indication you've got a future in politics. Now, there's another Kennedy, senator from Louisiana, no relation, of course, to the Kennedys of Massachusetts. Every time he gets on TV, it sounds like he lost his way off the set of Green Acres. he's not really doing much for the Kennedy name as far as the Kennedys that find themselves in the Republican Party anyway.
I think, I'm not in the States, but there still remains a fascination with the Kennedy family and the legacy. And I get the sense that people are always on the lookout for a potential presidential candidate.
Absolutely. I you know, back in 1999, I had an interview scheduled with the editor of George Magazine to go work for him, and that was John F. Kennedy Jr.
Did you, Wayne? That's incredible.
Yeah, and it was the interview was scheduled a week and a half after his plane crashed. And
quick question, Wayne.
That's one of those what if things. If that never happened,
what an amazing story! You were that close to working for JFK Jr. What happened?
Yeah.
Listen, I know this. I know we've got to go. We've got to wrap it up. In a nutshell, Wayne, why was he killed?
Well, he had he was already running for the Senate from New York. He was going to take Senator Moynihan's seat. Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who wanted him to be his successor. So, you know, the timeline would have been he would have served 1 6-year term. And then in 2008, I think we would have seen John F. Kennedy Jr. launch a presidential bid. You talk about a what-if situation. So in 2008, I really believe that John F. Kennedy Jr. would have been the second president, JFK. And I can tell you why. He was interested in hiring me and about three other reporters. He was going to turn around George Magazine, which was kind of a campy, you know, sort of inside Washington type magazine. And he wanted it to become involved in more hard-hitting, breaking investigative story type publication. And the first assignment we were all going to get, because we were told this up front, he was going to hand us a package of documents and say, look, there's some new information. Go out and try to find out who killed my dad.
Wow. Wow, Wayne.
And anyway, he was killed.
And he was murdered. There's no doubt about that.
I know that from somebody who was very close to him, who said to me, look, the FBI came and interviewed this guy. Well, I'll tell you, he was his flight instructor. He's a guy that taught him how to fly. And they wanted to know about, you know, his capability. He said, look, I would have been the pilot that day, but he was okay to fly. He had another commitment. And he told me, look, the FBI originally treated that as a murder investigation until the word came down. No, you move off the case. It's an accident and the NTSB is going to take over.
Do me a favor. Do me a favor, my friend. Let's book some time in the autumn to talk about JFK Jr. It'd be nice to do that. Because it doesn't get spoken about often enough, and it's a major story, and it still has implications to this day.
And the other thing is, who got that Senate seat? That was Hillary Clinton.
It was Hillary Rodham Clinton, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Folks, go to WayneMadsonReport.com. Sadly lacking these days, absolutely objective, straight down the line reporting. You don't get too much of it. You get it from Wayne, WayneMadsonReport.com. Thanks for your time, Wayne. I know you've got plenty more of these to do. I look forward to speaking to you in the autumn. Enjoy the rest of the summer. Thanks so much.
Okay, you bet.
Bye for now. Wayne Madsen, folks. WayneMadsonReport.com. Top man. Check him out if you haven't checked him out before. JFK Jr. I know there are a number of documentaries on the internet, on YouTube, Google, whatever. A number of documentaries that deal with what happened to him in Martha's Vineyard, the crash, the plane crash, and who he was and what he was doing. I never knew that Wayne was only a week away from working with him. I'm not surprised, though, knowing Wayne and knowing what Wayne was doing back then, the type of journalism he was doing. Very quick break, back with more 15 and a half minutes to the top of the hour, Thursday's programme.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever. Forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structure and application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today.
Welcome back. How did we get to this? You know, when you criticise, whether it be the Republican Party, whether it be Trump or some Republican senator, how did we come to this level of foolishness and ignorance and cognitive dissonance where people scream, ah, you must be a Hillary fan. No, I'm not. Ah, you must be a communist then. No, I'm not either. Did it possibly occur to you, you thick fucking Muppet, that I might not have any interest in or support any political party or ideology. Did that ever occur to you? That I don't want to be ruled by anybody. Did it ever occur to you that there are people out there who are moving on a different intellectual plane to yours? There are people out there who understand the folly of voting for one of these fucking idiots. Do you ever think that for a minute? This level of whataboutery, and you must be, and you have to be. No, I don't have to be anything. I've spent years talking to people about the crimes of the Clinton cartel, the sixth and probably most criminal of all the New York crime families historically. I know Clinton is not from New York. Bill Clinton is not from New York. Years. But it doesn't matter to these narcissistic fools who believe that Donald Trump is the messiah delivering everybody from the deep state and the clutches and the jaws of the financial elites. No, he isn't. There's never been a bigger puppet of the financial elites. The Zionist neocon puppet masters, string masters. Never been anybody more controlled than Donald Trump. But he is neither worse nor better than his predecessor and his predecessor and so on, so on, so on. This is why I'm coming off Twitter very soon. Not because I'm particularly bothered by people's carry-on or behaviour. I've got thick skin and I don't read it anyway. It's just a waste of time talking to people whom you don't know. Or I should say engaging with people whom you don't know. Having a radio programme is a wonderful thing because you can introduce ideas to people and they're either interested in them or they're not. If they're not, they will stick their fingers up at you and your content and they will go somewhere else. Fair enough. Fair enough. It should be free. It should be a free world. You think the Richie Allen Show is bollocks? Fair enough. You're absolutely right. You have the right to think that if you want. Brilliant. That's the beauty of radio. We speak to people. Some people listen, some people don't. And I don't mind that. It's engagement on one level. But actually engaging with people, trying to have discourse with people, I've given up on that. I gave up on it 3, 4, 5 years ago. You can't speak to people anymore. People don't want to hear anything which challenges that which they hold sacred. They don't want to hear it. Whether it's Tommy fucking wife beater Madman Robinson, owned by Breitbart, owned by Rebel Media, all roads lead to Zion, by the way. Can't have a conversation. Can't speak to people. Well, listen, this is why I concluded what I have concluded about Tommy wife-beating scumbag Robinson. No, I don't say that. I do sometimes. But speaking with people and writing about it, I generally tend to say, well, look, this is why I've concluded why... what I've concluded is why I think what I think about this guy, not just him, but all the rest of them on the far right. And this is why I think what I do about the progressive multicultural Frankfurt School idiots like Owen Jones and all the others on the left. This is why I think as I do about these people and who they are, who they're funded by. This is what I think. You think whatever you want. But you can't do that anymore. Can't have conversations with people. Most people on social media are... not all of them, but most of the most volatile of the idiots are hiding behind images, not their own images, but cartoon characters or whatever, and pseudonyms. So you can't have a conversation with that sort of idiot anyway. I'm not talking about people who listen to this programme and use pseudonyms, fair enough. If you're using a pseudonym and you're having, you know, fairly reasonable conversation with people, fair enough. But when you're using a pseudonym and all you're doing is screaming at people, I've no interest. I don't know where Hayden Hewitt gets the patience. By the way, Trigger Warning TV is live at 10 p.m. That's just over 1 hour from now on triggerwarning.tv and liveleak.com. Check it out, Hayden Hewitt. Hayden engages with... I don't understand why he bothers his arse to engage with people about the political landscape at the moment or about anything. I said, why do you waste your time? He gets a kick out of it. I can't be arsed dealing with people. I can't be arsed with people who are only interested in the sound of their own voice. They do not want to stop, shut up for 30 seconds and listen to what somebody else is saying. I'm not saying that it will necessarily change your point of view, but you never know, you might just get something out of it. Do you blame social media for this paradigm, for this reality, where narcissism reigns, where people surround themselves only with that which agrees with them? What do you blame for it? I've no time for it. This is why I'm coming off Twitter. I will then be off Facebook and Twitter, and I won't have to read any more of it. Not that it offends or bothers me, it just tires me out. And it's not even stuff said about the Richie Allen Show. Very little is said, good, bad or indifferent, about the Richie Allen Show on Twitter. It's people having a go at other people about stuff. And I look at it and I think, fucking retards. Bedroom dwelling, narcissistic fucking children. I've no time for it. In the future, I'll make more and more and more programmes. I will be making television programmes again. I know I was due to make TV programmes this year. It hasn't happened. But what I won't be doing is I won't be using social media platforms like Facebook or Twitter. I can't be arsed. It's a toxic environment. It's an echo chamber. It does no good and serves no good to programmes like this. It does me no good whatsoever. In fact, it's a prohibitive platform in terms of it actually works to minimise the reach that you have rather than broaden out your reach and broaden out your avenues in terms of where you can get the programme to more and more people. It's completely and utterly toxic. There's nothing good about it. And I'll be off it real soon. There are people at the moment I want to get on the programme. I can only reach them through Twitter. And I know you might say, well, that will be a problem then later on when you come off Twitter. But no, it won't be. I'll be, you know, reaching people through websites and through email. But the programme will come off Twitter completely and everything I do will be live and will be on the Richie Allen website, where I'll be introducing more and more things in the coming weeks and months. Amazing, this paradigm we're living in. And it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and more polarised, which is exactly what the financial hidden hand elites want. They want people to become batshit crazy fucking screamers. That's what they want. Identifying either with the Breitbarts, the Bannons, the Yiannopoulos, the Robinsons, all these fucking idiots on one side, or the social, left social Democrats, the progressives, these other batshit crazy fools on the other side. That's what the system wants. And boy, are people falling for it. Huh? Ah, you're bitching about Robinson, are you, Richie? You lefty. No, you're a fucking idiot. You've never paid so much as a second's attention to what I've been saying on my programmes for years. All roads lead to the financial elites and the royal families of the world who play you off against one another by getting you to fucking imprison yourself in a pigeonhole. I am a... You start every sentence with, well, as a Tommy Robinson supporter, or as an anti-Muslim activist, or as a progressive. No, you're a human being. You fuckwit. You are a person, a completely autonomous, unique individual with a unique brain. Think for yourself. Don't let media creations do your thinking for you. Have the courage to formulate your own ideas and your own opinions. Listen to everything and everyone. And then, whatever makes sense to you, well, go with that. But don't get your opinions, don't get your identity from a group of people or from an ideology. Grow a pair of fucking balls. Get away from the lunacy of screaming at people on the left or on the right and start to think for yourself. Brilliant to hear from Isaac Cappy tonight, and Wayne Madsen is always brilliant value. Have a massive, a massively relaxing and a very good weekend. Before we go, though, my great friend Jean-Anne Crowley, actress, brilliant actress and director, is putting on a production in Cleggan this weekend on Saturday evening, a very poignant production there. She's got a group of terrific actors, and they're reading poetry from Richard Murphy, poetry to do with, well, they're putting on an event to mark poetry about a significant event that took place in Cleggan in the 1920s, a tragedy. I haven't got time to get into it. It's an amazing thing. She's an amazing woman, Jean Ann Crowley, in every sense of the word. Hugely supportive of the Richie Allen Show, and Caroline and myself love her greatly. Sunshine, Fishermen and the Cleggan Disaster. On Saturday night, the performance of the work of Richard Murphy should be amazing and break several legs, Jean Ann Crowley, and the actors and actresses taking part in that. Wonderful woman, can't speak highly enough about her. Going to leave you with some Irish music then, not so Irish in terms of the sound of it, but it's Aslan and Christy Dignam. This is, it's called This Is. Look after yourselves and one another. I'll speak to you on Sunday View at 11 o'clock. Live on Sunday. I've been Richie Allen. Speak to you Sunday morning. Bye for now. Look after yourselves.